read the text this morning. Amen. Try to bring the thought that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Amen. In the introduction now, I've got some reading to do, and I hope it won't seem too boring to you. I'll try to make it as lively as I possibly can, but I do have some things that I need to say, and I hope that the Lord will let me tie them together or will help me to bring the truth concerning the Scripture that I'm reading from this morning. And you can put it together and trust the Lord will speak to our heart through it and give us a better understanding of the text that I'm preaching from. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John this morning with me, please. 1 John and chapter number 1. 1 John and chapter number 1. And I want to begin reading in verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Amen. Sins of the whole world. Not only for us, but the sins of the whole world. Amen. And I don't know if I'll say much about that. I may if God lays it on my heart. And I want to pray and then try to tell you what I want to be preaching from this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God today. Thank You, Lord, for church that we can come to in fellowship, in agreement in the Scriptures, in standards of life. Thank You for Your people that remain faithful and true and dedicated, even in this dark hour that we're living in. I bless their name for it and thank them for it. I thank You, Lord, for remaining faithful to us. Pray that You'd give us grace and light, understanding and wisdom. I pray, Lord, for the power of God upon myself this morning. Ask You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to fill me, to endue me with power today, to anoint me with fresh oil. Help me to preach in clarity, and Lord, that Your people can understand this is something difficult for me today, and I need Your divine help and intervention. I pray for great wisdom from God. And You said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So I'm asking in faith the best way I know without wavering. I do pray for sinners this morning to come to Christ. I pray for God's people to find new hope and new grace for their own life and joy of their salvation. And the power of God upon them. I pray for their families and help us now to magnify Your wonderful name, and we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. John writing here, and he says in verse number 1 of chapter 2, my little children, write these things unto you, that ye sin not. Now he said in chapter number 1 and verse 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Amen. And so now he's telling us how that our joy might be full. And that is by sinning not. Amen. These things, he said, I write unto you that ye sin not. Amen. And I want to take that thought this morning, that ye sin not. and preached for a little while on the thought of living daily with a clean heart. Living daily with a clean heart. That is, visiting the labor of the Word of God every day, that we might live every day with a clean heart. That we might, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that we might confess all sin before God daily, that we might live with a clean heart. Somebody said, now, preacher, we don't sin. Well, the Bible said if a man say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, then we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. And I take that to mean the living Word, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Then I take that to mean a lost man. If a man says that he has never sinned, mark it down, he's a lost man. Christ is not in that man. But John is writing here that we sin not. And I want to preach on living daily with a clean heart. And I think that we can live daily with a clean heart. Somebody said, are you saying, preacher, we can live daily without sin? I didn't say that. I said that we can live daily with a clean heart and a clean conscience before God. And that we can do. Now, I want us, and I've said this to you before, but I want us to remember and keep it in the thought in our mind as we're looking through this scripture that with God there is no such thing as past, as present, and as future. Time, there is no time limitations, and time does not exist with He who is the eternal I Am. But there have been times that God in His Word, to condescend to our infirmities, He sometimes represents Himself in the past, present, and the future, in the Word of God, in condescending to you and I, to our infirmities. We need to realize tonight that we're weak, or this morning, that we're weak flesh before God. And that we're nothing in comparison to the great I Am. But it's a marvel of the grace of God that God would condescend in His Word to where we are, that He might identify Himself with us. He did that, by the way, in the Incarnation. I'm glad, thank God, that the great I Am became the incarnate Son of God and took upon Himself the form of a servant, humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, that you and I, through His death, might be saved by the grace of God. Now, God did that. And God entered into time, although there is no time with God. He's the all-eternal God. He always lives now. He never lives in you. That's why God's never late, folks. That's why God is never too early, folks. He's always right on time because it's impossible for Him to be any other thing because He knows no time. There are no time limitations with God. And we ought to rejoice in that. Because one of these days we're going to enter into eternity. That's what's going to give us eternal and everlasting life, is because there are no time limits with God. And in eternity there will be no time. That's why the songwriter can say, in a land where we'll never grow old. Thank God I'm going to a land where I'll never grow old, because there's no time. It is time, by the way, that tells its toll upon us in this human body. I spoke to a fellow, and I may have told you this some time ago. I spoke to him and said, how you doing? He said, I'm just sitting here killing time. I said, I don't believe I'd kill too much of it. One of these days it's going to kill you. And he looked kind of strange at me, but I'm telling you, if the Lord tarries, one of these days time will catch up with all of us. Yeah.
But time never catches up with God. But I'm glad in His Word that He has condescended to that degree that to give you and I a better understanding of the all eternal and the great, the marvelous, the glorious, the wonderful I am. Amen. Now listen carefully. There are some people, and I'm saying this in reference to this scripture about being saved, about committing sin, and about being forgiven of our sins. Stay right with me. There are some people, and I want to put them in parentheses, we call them hyper-Calvinists. They believe that those that are saved were saved before the foundation of the world. That they've always been saved. That they've always been saved. But listen carefully. There are those, and I named them hyper-Calvinists, they wrangle among themselves, when were our sins forgiven? Or when does a child of God enter into Christ's redemption? I want to say certainly no one is saved by Christ's sacrifice until he is converted. You better get a hold of that. I don't care what anybody says there. You're not saved until that time of your life when you become converted by the grace of God. That is until a man repents of his sins and trusts in his cleansing blood. Equally certain is it that we cannot repent of our sins before they are committed. I want you to get a hold of that. No man has ever been saved, ladies and gentlemen, until he repented of his sins and trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this old thing, well, I know that I'm a child of God and I'm just hanging around waiting for him to save me. That don't cut no ice. Sinners are saved when they repent of their sins and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the work of grace, amen, and the work of redemption has been done since the foundation of the world. But Christ brought it to fruition when He died on Calvary, and it comes to you and I the day that we kneel at an old-fashioned altar and repent of our sins and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting for that day to get here. Well, today is the day. Amen. Now is the accepted time. Today's the day for you to get in, friend, right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. Amen. And there is also, I want to mention, there is also a difference between the blood that was shed in Hebrews 6, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 12 or 22, and the blood of sprinkling in Hebrews 12:24. Get a hold of this now. As shed the blood of Christ, and the blood of sprinkling, as shed the blood of Christ has met all the claims of God, so that he can now righteously pardon those who plead its merits. That is that when Christ shed His blood, He fulfilled the righteous demands of God. And He made all the provisions for a man to come to Christ and trust Him and trust in His merits for a divine and wonderful salvation. As shed the blood of Christ has a cleansing virtue, and as sprinkling, it actually removes our defilement. Now, I don't know how to explain that to you, but I'm telling you, in the work of grace and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, it not only satisfied God, the shed blood satisfied God, but the sprinkling of the blood is what literally cleanses a sinner. Now, I'm not talking about just faith in that. I'm talking about when that blood is sprinkled. Hey, He shed His blood on Calvary. He satisfied the righteous demands of God. But when a sinner kneels at the altar, he receives the sprinkling of that blood. Now, I'm telling you, he is washed thoroughly from his sin. Somebody said, how does God do that? He purges his conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And that word purge, ladies and gentlemen, means that it's gone. Hallelujah. I don't have a dead conscience anymore. In other words, I'm not dead anymore. Praise God, I'm alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I've been purged from a dead conscience to serve a living God, how can a dead man serve a living God? Praise God, we're alive in Him, and our sin before God is gone. Hallelujah. They're literally gone. Literally. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Praise God, I'm not hoping to get them cleansed. They're gone.
Amen.
Now, stay right with me. There is also an issue of sin's penalty and sin's guilt. Vicariously, the penalty of them was remitted when God, or the penalty, there is also the issue of sin's penalty and guilt. Vicariously, the penalty of our sins was borne by Christ upon the cross. When Christ died on Calvary, now stay right with me, I'm getting to somewhere. When Christ died on the cross, the penalty of our sins He bore there upon Calvary. But the guilt of them was remitted when God raised Him from the dead. He's our surety. And God raised Him from the dead. And so the penalty was paid on the cross. But thank God the guilt, ladies and gentlemen, came taken away when God raised Him from the dead. Now I'm going to tell you right there, it's where a whole lot of people get hung up. They have no problem testifying and thanking God that they've been saved from the penalty of sin. You know what it is. It's eternity in hell. But I'm going to tell you where us little finite folks have our problem, and that is realizing that the guilt of sin, we're not guilty anymore. Thank God I've been pardoned. Hallelujah. I don't have to carry the guilt of my sin. Somebody said, well, you don't realize what all I did. No, but God does. And if God pardons you, what is man to condemn you? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad. And hey, guilt is something that's hard to get over. I'm dealing with the VA over a thing they call survivor's guilt. Amen. Over a thing that they just call guilt for things that I did in Vietnam, and the fact that some lived and I did, some died and I didn't, and the fact that I did some things that I'm not too pleased with over there, looking back, and it troubles me, and I'm working with God through that thing in my own personal life. So I'm speaking on authority this morning. Now I'm telling you that guilt can harm you. Guilt can rob you of joy. Guilt can rob you of liberty. Guilt can rob you of your blessings. And I'm telling you, when God raised Him from the dead, amen, our sins were remitted and God took away all the guilt and shame from you and I. But that is not realized in nobody until they kneel at the cross, at the altar, and call upon the name of the Lord and trust Him in the free pardon of sin.
Amen.
Thank God the penalty's paid for. The guilt's been remitted. But it only is owned by those that repent.
Amen.
I want to say that again. Repent. For the sake of some of that easy believism crowd, repent. Praise God, I'm glad I didn't get in 1, 2, 3. I'm glad I repented. Amen. I'm glad I made a turn. I'm glad I turned around, amen, and headed in the other direction. I'm telling you, nobody's ever got saved apart from repenting.
Amen.
Repentance, amen, toward God. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what does it. Amen. I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. Stay right with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me say also, and it's the last, and I'll get into my message. Let me say also that distinction must be made between the general pardon. Here's where we come in here.
which is received the moment we believed.
Amen.
When we believed,
Amen.
God pardoned us of our sin. But I'm telling you, the sin that you confessed when you got saved are not the sins you commit later down in your life. The problem with some of these perfection fellas, they're trying to tell us that when you repent of your sins, that they're past, present, and future, and they are taken care of. But I'm telling you, it is an impossibility to repent of sins or to confess sins before that sin ever takes place. That's why John put in here, "My little children." He's not talking to the lost world. "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not." John said, "I don't want you to sin. And God don't want you to sin." But he turned around and said, "And if any man sin," thank God I'm glad. Amen. We're pardoned the minute we believe. But I'm telling you, there comes a time in our life when we got to deal with those specific and actual sins that we commit in our life from day to day. And they're only taken care of as we come to God and confess those sins. And God will remit those sins from our life.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. And the reason I think God led me to preach this, there's a crowd that's preaching that you can arrive at sinless perfection. I've heard them preach in our camp meetings, "Well, if you got to sin a little bit, just get up in the morning and go do it and get it over with." And then I've heard them say, "Well, how much sin do you have to commit every day?" May I say to you that we're sinners, get it now, by nature and by choice. And all they see are the sins of choice. They never see the sins by nature. I'm here to tell you we got them both to deal with, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't believe that we are still sinners, run this verse by you. The wages of sin is what? D-E-A-T-H, death. The wages of sin is death. And I'm telling you, there's going to come a time in your life when that body of clay that we're carrying around is going to die. You know why it's going to die? It's still full of sin, ladies and gentlemen. It has never been redeemed yet, but oh, there's coming a day. Praise God. I'm glad our redemption is complete. There's coming a day. Even when this old body, hallelujah, that we're carrying is going to be raised incorruptible and made like the body of the Son of God. And then sin will be swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Believe that. Y'all believe what I'm preaching this morning?
Amen.
You're dragging an old dead body around with you.
Amen.
Don't want to get ahead. Don't want to get ahead of myself.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, just because we're in this body doesn't give us a license to sin.
Amen.
My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin. Praise God, I'm glad there's an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm glad I got a... Amen! I'm glad I got an advocate at the right hand of God. Thank God. He's there to plead my case 24-7. Amen. I can cry to Him from the ends of the earth. He's always there. Amen. I'm going to tell you, His line's never busy. Amen. He's always got an open line. You can get a hold of Him anytime you need to get a hold of Him. He's available. He is available. I'm telling you, God is available today. Amen. Thank you, Miss Sharon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God's available. Amen. Some of you ladies ought to help her out a little bit. Thank God if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from a double L. All righteousness. Amen. Thank God. Now, how There are sins that are more specific and detailed. That's why this verse of Scripture is in the Bible. And they're sins of the flesh. All of them. And I'm going to tell you, friend, you're not going to eradicate the sins of the flesh until this flesh is glorified. You can write and tell that crowd I said that. But on the same token, doesn't give us a license to sin. Stay right with me this morning. I appreciate Miss Sharon shouting. I wish the rest of us got in on a little bit. Amen. To live daily without with a clean heart. What must a man do? To live daily with a clean heart. May I say, hey, they visited the laver daily. Now listen carefully. There must be a daily confession of sin. Somebody said, preacher, what if I don't know anything? I didn't holler at nobody. I didn't cuss. I didn't watch television. I didn't dance, drink beer. Didn't commit adultery. What if I didn't do all them things? You don't have to. You're carrying enough sin around in this flesh of yours to be a stench in the very nostrils of Almighty God. You better get a hold of that. If you don't, you'll never, hey, if you don't get a hold of that, you're going to have trouble. But I'm telling you, there's got to be a daily confession of sin. And here's the thing. He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sin. Listen carefully. He forgives us freely. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about ready to shout it out myself. He freely forgives. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold sin over our head? If we go to God and tell Him we're a sinner, He doesn't hold that over our head and make that heavy on us. He's faithful and just to forgive us. That means remove her out of the way. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. That word freely means generously. God generously forgives. That word literally means to give freely to the poor. I believe that was you and I. Blessed are the poor. Amen. I believe in spirit. I believe that is you and I, ladies and gentlemen. We were beggars. Thank God somebody said, I never was a beggar. I don't have no problem with it. Praise God, I'm telling you, the morning He come by where I was a beggar. Amen. And I lived the life of a beggar. But thank God, I'm glad the beggar's got a king. Amen. To God, thank God that song, The Beggar and the King. Woo! Amen. I'm the beggar and He's the king. And I'm telling you that as the king passes by, He will generously, He will freely forgive you of all your sins. Amen to God. He forgives those that are poor in spirit, the beggars like you and I. I want to say secondly, and I hope I can say this word right. He forgives us not only freely, it means generously, but gratuitously. You know what that means? That means to leave a tip. Yeah. When, praise God, I didn't know I was going to say that, but it done stirred my heart. Amen. Every time He forgives us, He leaves a tip. Amen. Yes, sir. Little handful of grace. Amen. A whole lot of mercy, a pinch of love, and a blessing today. That there not be room to hold it all. I'm telling you, the Lord rejoices. The Lord rejoices in forgiving sin. Whether it be a sinner or a saint, He rejoices. It makes Him happy. It pleases Him. Amen. Every time He forgives a sin. So He'll forgive us freely. I want to say, secondly, He forgives us frankly. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad He does. You know the story of Mary Magdalene at Simon the Pharisee's house? The Lord went into Simon's house. Mary came in and began to wash His feet with the tears from her eyes and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And Simon was thinking in his heart, if he knew what kind of a woman that was, he wouldn't be allowing her to touch him. I'm glad, thank God, he allows old filthy sinners to touch him. I'm even more thankful that he touches us. Amen to God. Yes, hallelujah. Now listen carefully. And the Lord spoke to Simon. He said, Simon said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. And those two debtors, by the way, were Mary and Simon. And that's right. Said the one owed 500 pence, that's Mary. The other 50, that's the Pharisee. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He said, tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Hey, please notice how forgiveness stirs a fire in the heart of the sinner. Some, when Christ forgave Mary, it stirred up a fire down in her bones. And it stirred up some love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He loves to forgive old sinners. But I'm telling you, if you get on the altar and get right with God, it ought to stir up a fire down in your bones to know that you're pure and holy and that there is a way that you can live clean before God every day of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. By confessing your sins. And he'll forgive those sins. Amen. That woman in John chapter 8 that they brought to the Lord Jesus that had sinned adultery. You know, the Lord knelt on the ground twice, wrote on the ground. All that crowd fled. When he got up, he said, where are those thine accusers?
Amen.
And she said, I have none. And the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. Then what did he say? Go and sin no more.
Right.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Look here. Now I want you to understand what I'm saying. The Lord there is talking about intentional sins. Deliberate sins. Don't go and deliberately say you don't have to go back to your adulterous life. Woo! Thank God. I don't know how many old drunks there are in here this morning. But when the Lord saved us, He said, hey, go and sin no more. You don't have to go back to that old lifestyle, that old way of life. There is a new life. Amen. I've given you life and joy and peace and hope and glory in your heart. Go and sin no more. Amen. He said, but if you do sin, I want you to remember that you got an advocate with the Father. Amen to God. I'm glad. Thank God we can have Him with a clean heart every day. Amen. Some of y'all is enjoying this about like you would if you was living in a cage of alligators. Now, I not only see a daily confession of sin, we're going to live with a clean heart, but I see a duty. I see a duty that we must live by. Our rule that we must live by in the Word of God. There must be a daily, listen now, conforming to Christ.
Amen.
It ought to be our desire to be more like Jesus, to be more like Him. I think, honestly, I think so many people today are so confused about Christianity and what it's all about. I'm getting to where I don't love them, but I enjoy some camp meetings. And I enjoy church, and I enjoy service. I enjoy being with you. But I'm telling you, our greatest desire in our life, I'm glad that you pay me the salary you do, and I live like I do. Now, I'm glad you live like you do. But I'm telling you, the greatest desire in our heart ought to be to be like Him.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, the more that we realize our sins and confess our sin, the more we'll be like Him.
Amen.
And that ought to be a duty that we follow. You cannot live daily with a clean heart unless you're pressing toward the mark.
Amen.
Pressing toward the prize.
Amen.
Of being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world.
Amen.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He said in Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son."
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, that ought to be our desire, to be more like Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Contrary to what you might believe, when you got saved, you were not immediately conformed to Jesus. In fact, if you look back on your life at where you were and where you are now, you're going to realize you didn't get where you are now back then. That is, if you're saved.
Amen.
God's not going to drive out all the enemies all at once, lest we vaunt ourselves in pride and give glory to ourselves. But I'll tell you, God will let few of them Amorites hang around, a few of them Hittites hang around, and a little of them Philistines hang around, that He might drive them out little by little. Amen. And the only way He will is if we are trusting Him and pressing toward that prize to be conformed to His image, to be more like Him every day. Amen. We need to be conformed in our duties. Nothing short of abstaining from everything which is displeasing to Christ should be the task that we set for ourselves, and that without any secret reserve. I'm talking about anything that's not pleasing to Him, get it out. And I'm telling you, that's not easy to do. Because there's some little worldly things that we all like to hang on to. That we all like to hang on to. But I'm telling you, in duties, we're getting ready to have a radio marathon. I wonder how many of you will be show your duties to Christ and the church in that radio marathon.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you don't show me that you are faithful in little things, don't ever expect me to put you somewhere in a big thing. I'll never do it.
Amen.
Miss Hall is going to be calling. She may get some of y'all to help her to line up singers for the marathon. We're going to do it. We don't need that crowd out there if they don't want to come. I called one church and he flat told me they wouldn't come. Let them stay at home.
Amen.
We can do it.
Amen.
I told the men in Sunday school, as a ministry, as our duties to Christ, we ought to be jumping the pews. Do you realize since Stenham Ballou preached that message on lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, that God has given us a whole complete radio station, a translator off of that station in Paris, Tennessee, and now a translator in Hopkinsville, and praise God we act like God ain't doing nothing around here. I'm telling you that God is doing some things around here. You just need to get your eyes open and realize what God's doing. Hey, and perform your duties to the Lord. Get out of your worldly mood, ladies and gentlemen. And hey, get conformed to Him and start doing some duties around the church. I'm proud of the ladies that do the cleaning. Church looks great. I'm happy and blessed that you volunteered to do that.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, our duties ought not to stop there.
Right. Amen.
Who do you think that Jesus, what his life revolves around? His people! And if his life, he revolves around his people, our life ought to revolve around him and the church. Come on in the house. I'm glad Miss Sharon shouted a while ago. We ought to be conformed to his death. I don't want to spend much time here. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I really don't know exactly what that means. Dying like Christ. I know that he died in sacrifice. I wonder how much we're coming. Oh, the shouting's over now. I wonder how much we're sacrificing for him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I know some of you men work on Sundays. I try to understand that. I have a hard time with it. I believe God would supply the need some other way if you'd pray. But some are off on Sundays and don't even come to church.
Amen.
Hey! Unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint.
Amen.
Boy, I'm telling you, it's getting quiet now. It was quiet a while ago. It's getting quiet now.
Amen.
Are we sacrificing? He laid his life down for us. Are we laying our life down for others? Are we laying our life down for him, for the church, for the family? Are we sacrificing? Will we die paying, doing sacrifice for the glory of God?
Amen.
I better hurry up and get off of that. Hallelujah. Now, to accomplish this, our eyes are to be fixed on the rule. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And not looking at our infirmities. You know what some of you do? You look at your weaknesses and say, well, I can't do that. I can't be like Jesus. You know why? And I say this as reverently as I know how. You're looking at him as God, and he was God. But he doesn't expect us to be little God. We're not gods. But I'll tell you what he does expect us to be. Conform to the image of Jesus.
Amen.
Who was not only God, he was man.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, when you start looking at Jesus as man, praise God, and said, I want to be like him as man. Amen. And keep that rule in your mind that I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Rather than looking at my weaknesses. Now, I'm afraid that's what a lot of you in here do. Some of you in here don't have the motivation and the stir in your soul that you need to go on with God. And I love you. You need to go on.
Amen.
Go on with God. You can do it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, you can do it.
Amen.
There were some things. When I got saved, I didn't think I could do. But I've done some of them.
Amen.
And you can too. You put your shoulder to the plow, you can.
Yes,
you can win some battles and some come out with victory.
Amen.
Anybody listening?
Amen.
And Sharon, I may ask you to shout again here in a minute. I want to say number three. We need to be dedicated in our obedience to Christ.
Amen.
I won't say much about this. Just hang right with me. Our life has got to be regulated by repentance. I'm talking about that spiritual repentance, which is the gift of God, according to Acts 5:13. Not only turn the heart from sin, but against it.
Amen.
Our problem is not turning from it, but against it. How much, somebody said, most people are against everybody else's sin, but not theirs.
Right.
I want you to hear what I'm telling you. I'll give a flip that makes you mad. We've had some people to leave this church, and they had a problem. They could see everybody else's sin, but they couldn't see their sin.
and they let me know about it.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, we're generally blind to us and eyes wide open to everybody else. But I tell you, we need to do like Jesus told Peter about John. Don't worry about John, Peter. Worry about Peter.
Yes, sir.
Praise God, we better get our eyes off of the world and everybody else.
Right.
Are you listening to me? And not only turn from sin, but turn against it.
Amen.
You know why? Do you know why the Sodomites have come out of the closet? Because most of God's people have turned, they turn from that sin. Oh, but they'd never be against it. They wouldn't want nobody to think that they got, that they'd do a hate crime.
Right.
Not a hate crime.
Right.
I don't hate those people. But I hate their sin.
Amen.
And we've not stood against that sin.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what. I not only hate their sin, I hate the sin of a drunk.
Right.
I hate the sin of a whoremonger and an adulterer. I hate their sin, but I don't hate them. That don't make me hate them. Oh, no. I love them, but I do not love their sin. And we've caved into it.
Right. Preach it. Preach it. Right. Amen.
Just all pulled up something on the news last night on the computer on CNN. Talking about a church somewhere. And the guy said, now what we must do is receive the gays and lesbians into our fellowship as what as we are and love them. For God loves them like God loves us. Well, I'd say, I ain't going to say. And I'm going to say when they get so far, God don't love them. God is angry with the wicked every day.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, God don't like that sin either, friend.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I don't like it either.
Amen.
And I don't like pedophiles creeping around the church.
Amen.
Somebody said, why do you preach against it? I'm going to try to my best to keep it out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go on in the house now. That dedication, that obedience to Christ is rejected by our will. I want to show you something. Stay right with me right here. For though the will may and does oppose the conscience and follow the impulses of the flesh, yet the conscience never consents or condones, but judges and condemns sin. Do you hear what I said? The flesh will sin. But that conscience that's been purged will never condone sin. It will always judge sin. Somebody said, you're too judgmental. Amen. I'm going to continue to judge in sin. It was sin that nailed our Lord to the cross. Amen. It was sin that caused Him the pain, the suffering, and the agony. It was your sin and my sin that He carried up Calvary's hill. Thank God, I'm glad when He went to the grave, He left it in a tomb, hallelujah, and came out of it without our sin. Amen. And I'm looking for Him. They that look for Me shall appear again the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. Thank God. Now, I won't say this, it's presumption and not faith that trifles with temptation. If you're going to be obedient to Christ, you just play with temptation. If you used to have a problem with pornography, just take a peek at it once in a while.
Amen.
If you had a problem with women, rub shoulders with them every now and then. Speak a word that's not proper to them now and then. I'm telling you, a man that flirts with sin is a fool. Because, buddy, you're presuming upon God, and God one of these days will let you fall right into it.
Amen. Free.
We've got the idea we're saved. Praise God. We can, you know, God knows we're sinners and we can just live any way we want to live. No, 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 no. But you dabble with that stuff. We're all in here. Most of us got the internet. Just get on there and dabble with it a little bit.
Amen.
See where it leads you.
Amen.
Right.
Better be careful. You men better be careful when you're around the opposite sex.
Amen.
Be careful what them lips say.
Amen.
Be careful what them eyes say.
Amen.
Preaching time now, ain't it?
Preach.
I'm talking about sin. Yes. Now, little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not.
Amen.
But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yes.
Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
Are you listening? I won't be too much longer. Just stay right with me. Now, I want to say thank God there's a door of mercy that's always open. Yeah, come on now and help me out. We're getting into the good. There's a door of mercy always. Somebody said, preacher, where's that at? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if you sin, any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
He never, hey, that door is always open.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about our advocate shutting the door and closing you out. Praise God, that door is always open, and you're welcome there. If you've sinned, you're welcome there. And some of you sitting in here this morning ain't been on an altar in so long, you forgot what it means to confess your sin. I'm telling you right now, the door to the altar is open, and the advocate awaits for you this morning. As I said the other night, I'll say it again, we'll never be where we ought to be until we deal with our sin and get over the sin problem in the church.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That door of mercy is always open. This is what I'm going to say here. If you do commit sin, you must not be so cast down as though the door of mercy were closed against you. That's how some people feel. I've sinned and God don't love me anymore. I'm going to tell you that's far from being the truth. As He opened His arms upon the cross, and there He received sinners. So He opens His arms at the throne and receives saints. Thanks be unto God. Woo! 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 Thank God. Thank God. Yes, you can live daily with a clean heart. He eagerly and anxiously awaits every saint that has sinned to flee to Him. Now listen to this. This does not give us a license to sin. I want to read these things. When the Lord healed the impotent man in John 5:14, His word to him was, go and sin no more.
Amen.
The woman in adultery, John 8:11, He said, go and sin no more. Paul said in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. And sin not. Not only are we to reject with abhorrence the devilish idea that the grace of God and the sacrifice of Christ gives a license to sin, but we are not even to view them as a provision for the weakness of the flesh. He says, sin not.
Amen.
Oh, thank God Christ died on Calvary. My sins are taken care of, but I can dabble a little bit. Sin not.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen to these. Listen to these and I'm done. Your time has been redeemed. Amen. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Your time has been redeemed. Use it as a consecrated talent in His cause. Use your time. He's redeemed your time. He says redeeming the time. He's redeemed your time. So use it as a consecrated talent to the cause of Christ. Use your time wisely. Some of you never do anything for God at all except come to church and sit on the pews. It ought not to be that way, brethren. Your minds are redeemed. Empty them so you can learn His truth and meditate on His ways. Empty your minds of everything else and think upon Him. Your eyes are redeemed. Let them trample upon the world and climb upward the upward hill of Zion and bear you upward in your march of Christian zeal. Keep your eyes on Jesus, in other words. Instead of looking at world and sin, keep your eyes on Him. March up, march towards Zion. Hallelujah, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Not glaring at the world and what it has to offer. The world shall be vanished someday and burned with a fervent heat. But I'll tell you, they that do the will of God shall abide forever. Amen. This world that some of you love and treasure will soon be gone.
Amen.
When it's burned with fire, will you be standing on it? Or will you be standing on the eternal rock of ages?
Amen.
May I say your tongues are redeemed. Now I'm on night camp here for 5 minutes. Let them love Him as holy. No. Let them only sound His praise and testify of His love.
Amen.
The preacher at Brother Calvert's called me on the carpet because I said the Bible said let everything have breath. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he doesn't think that women ought to worship. He says there is usurping authority over a man if they worship God. I asked him, I said, what about Mary, the mother of the Lord in the Magnificat? Well, he said, there wasn't any men around. I said, I beg to differ with you. The whole city was around because right here Zacchaeus. They come to Zacchaeus and asked him what he's going to name him. I said, the whole city was there. I said, what are you going to do about Miriam? Well, that's Old Testament. I'm going to tell you, folks, don't mean there's where it's Old Testament or New Testament. You know what I asked him? I said, are you going to tell me that a woman that's been redeemed by the blood of Christ, she's God's child, you're going to tell me? Oh, and he says, that's usurping authority over a man when you do it. I said, are you going to tell me they don't have a right to worship? Better believe they do, friend. And I'm going to tell you why some of your wives don't worship, because some of you men's got them quelled down. Because you carry the same attitude that preacher carried. I'm telling you, every redeemed child of God has got a right. That tongue has been redeemed. Use it in worship and praise and testify. Use it to glorify God rather than to cuss and to swear. Amen. And argue and fuss and fight. Use it wisely.
Amen.
I want to say next, our hearts have been redeemed. Our hearts have been redeemed. Let them love Him wholly and have no seat for rivals. I want to ask you something. You men in here, How long would you stay with your wife if another man visited her about 3 times a week? You wouldn't tarry very long, would you? What do you think about Christ when the rivals that we have in our heart with Him? Now, I'm not going to name them. It wouldn't do no good. Now, you know what they are. If there's rivals, there's something in our heart that's striving against us serving God. Get it out.
Amen.
I want to say, a redeemed flock should evidence that they are called. No, redeemed flock should live in redemption's pastures. We're redeemed, live in the pastures of God. And finally, the redeemed, the Redeemer's freed men. Are you free today?
Amen.
Are you free? Should evidence that they are called to this holy liberty and that their holy liberty is holy service. The chain of sin is now broken. It is. When you come out of the grave, the chain of sin was broken. But when you, it wasn't broken for you until you knelt at the cross and repented and trusted Christ. That chain was broken. Now I'm going to tell you what He done. He gave you a chain of love. That connected you with Him. That's called the Holy Spirit. If He's given us, if He's broken the chain of sin, given us a chain of love, then we certainly ought to use our life in service, giving glory to our God.